gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. It is me, it's your boy Mike, being joined this month with Fatimus Prime, Mr. Matt Carroll. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I am surviving the day.
It's a nice, chilly, cool day out, and the windows in the apartment are open, and all is good.
Yep. So with that, we are in October. We are doing Halloween Havoc 98 for WCW and Judgment Day in Your House 98 for WWF. But we'll get to that in a little bit. First, we'll do some news and notes. First big thing, and we'll start with the WWE, is that Ari Emanuel, the CEO of Endeavor, has knighted Triple H as the head of creative and has removed Vince McMahon from creative because Ari Emanuel has this thing of, like, you focus on your job, and Vince's job with TKO Holdings is not do creative for WWE. That is Triple H's job. So that's a big thing, and you can tell already a major difference because of who's being utilized on television on Raw and SmackDown. Matt, thoughts?
I mean, while I'm a Vince McMahon fan, and the last probably, I would say, maybe 10 years of WWE have been very touch and go, and kind of a lot of it has been blah. And when he left, you could tell that things were getting a lot better story-wise and creatively and all that, because it was a breath of fresh air. So I'm happy because I feel like it's going to be a breath of fresh air. And it seemed like H knew what he was doing, and we'll see if it continues. Hopefully it does, because here's the thing. I'm a WWE guy. I'll always be a WWE guy. I want it to be the best wrestling there is, and I feel like with Triple H running creative, it could be.
Yeah, so. And you can also tell, like, just by who Triple H uses compared to Vince. You know, Triple H is using, you know, using Tegan Knox more. He's brought back Johnny Gargano, which over the summer they're supposed to do the DIY reunion with Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. And that kept getting delayed until now because obviously Vince, you know, didn't want to do it, you know. So, you know, you're seeing more of a Bronson Reed now on television. You're seeing Shinsuke getting better push. You're seeing Ricochet get a better push. You know, there's all these people who are, you know, getting better pushes now because of Triple H running the creative. He's utilizing more of the roster than just the specific ones that Vince really likes.
And here's the other thing. I think you'll see a lot less guys jumping ship, because I do feel like Triple H will give more creative freedom. Maybe not the same amount that AEW gives guys, but I do think he will let the guys be a little bit more creative on their own, as opposed to being so, you know,
restricted
by the script, and it has to go this way and no deviation whatsoever type of deal. But
one thing I did hear is I think Triple H did go back to, like, what they did in the Attitude Era, which was bullet points. You know, here are the bullet points of what we need you to talk about. Like, it's not like full scripts anymore.
Which is not bad. I mean, you know, obviously they're writing a television show and they want certain messages to come across. But, you know, just because, like, I heard a lot of things where, like, Vincent would be like, oh, this is hilarious. And, like, yeah, that would have been hilarious back 15 years ago when that was a relevant joke, but it's not funny anymore. And he would keep trying to push all this stuff that was out of date and nobody liked and wouldn't let these guys be creative, you know. So just that's all I want to see is just better. The guys having a little bit more creative freedom. And like I said, I think under Triple H, you will. And also, I think that'll lead to better matches too when the guys are able to be more creative. Because here's the thing, right? If you're a true rival with somebody, you try a lot harder, right? You're a hockey player. You play sports. You know this. I've played sports my whole life. When you play against your rival team, or if you're an individual sport and that's your number one rival, you try 10 times harder because you want to beat that team or that guy more than anything. And if you let these guys joust verbally back and forth on the mics and give them kind of their own creative freedom to do so. For example, The Miz and Daniel Bryan. If we had actually gotten to see all of that play out, that would have been amazing because those two, they didn't truly like each other that much. They respected each other in the locker room. They didn't get along great in the locker room. And they had those punch in the mouth mic segments with each other, and it just would have been an explosive. Some of the greatest work I think we would have seen for both of them in the ring, because they truly built that up. And then when you build that up, the fans then build it up, and the fans, you know, their allegiances go one way or the other. So then you get that whole thing in the crowd of, you know, there's a lot more tension in the crowd because one group wants to see this guy win, the other group wants to see that guy win, and it just makes for a more fun experience overall.
And actually, one of the interesting things is that they kind of did do that. Triple H did that with Miz, but instead of, you know, Bryan Danielson, he used LA Knight.
Yeah.
And it worked greatly to help build up LA Knight to where, you know, to where he's at now. So, you know, and that's the thing. Hunter gets it, you know. So, next up on the news, we'll do NWA first, but Billy Corgan announced that they have signed two contracts with the CW. One contract is for NWA to have its wrestling show on the CW. Don't know when that's going to start. And then the second contract is for like a behind the scenes type reality show for NWA as well.
Nice. Now, so here's my question, because you're obviously more of a in the know guy nowadays than I am. This CW,
at least I try to be.
Is that an exclusive contract where they can't show their show? They can't show Power on YouTube anymore?
I don't know.
Okay.
Like I kind of like that was kind of like news. I kind of like just kind of skimmed through real quick because it's like, gosh, oh, okay, gosh. They announced. When I saw the headline saying that they signed with CW, it's like, okay, let me just take a little bit more of an expanded look. And that's what I saw. So I didn't see anything about like YouTube or whatever in that regard. So I wouldn't know.
I will say this about the TV deal. I like NWA. I like NWA Power. I watch as I can. It's on YouTube for free, which is awesome. But YouTube, I think, has a much farther reach than cable does now, but wrestling on cable TV is a time-honored tradition, and when people are flipping their channels, you're only going to see NWA Power on YouTube if you know that it's there. But when you're flipping your channels and you see NWA Wrestling, you're going to stop, and if you're a wrestling fan or a casual wrestling fan, you're going to go, oh, hey, there's wrestling. Let me check this out. And it might bring new eyes to the product. So I always think the TV deal is great, especially cable TV deal.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's the thing a lot of people and a lot of sports leagues are going to learn this the hard way. But, you know, everything's like going to streaming. You know, if you want to watch this, you got to go to this streaming network, or you want to go to watch this, you got to go to that streaming network. And I think the NFL is like YouTube, Peacock, Paramount Plus, Amazon. It's like on four of them, I think. And it's like, who's got time for all that shit? And like, but the thing is, though, is that like, if you're flipping through channels and you're not that big of a sports fan, but you stumble upon a sporting event, you know, on one of the channels, like a regional sports network or ESPN or Fox or CBS or whatever network may have a sporting event going on, you know, you're bound to probably get a newer fan that way than through streaming, because like ESPN Plus,
absolutely.
Like ESPN Plus, I can guarantee you the people who have subscriptions for ESPN Plus have it very specifically for like one or two things. They ain't going, like, if they have ESPN Plus so they can watch like the NBA or UFC, they're going to watch the NBA or UFC. They ain't going on to watch the NHL. They ain't going on to watch, you know, whatever else ESPN may provide. Like, they're not. Like, they're going.
I would say the one advantage that streaming has for professional sports is out of market stuff. For example, I just signed up for the NBA TV, which is I'm paying for the premium one, which is $22 a month, but I can watch any Wizards game I want. The only thing I can't do, which kind of sucks, is I can't watch any of the ESPN, TNT, or Philadelphia 76er games. If I want to watch those, I have to wait 3 days. But
yeah,
I get to watch all the out-of-market games, and I get to watch the Wizards anytime I want. You know, anytime they're on TV, I can just...
Yeah, and I think that's something that will eventually probably get fixed with the streaming stuff, because if they all decide, oh, we're going to go straight to streaming, then the number one thing that you got to say is, okay, if you do that, you have to get rid of the blackout restrictions.
Yeah, exactly.
You have
the only reason for the blackout restrictions is for regional marketing.
Yeah, and a lot of regional sports channels are going under, like Bally Sports is going under. You have sports teams or ownership groups buying their TV stations, like the Capitals ownership of Monumental Sports Entertainment bought NBC Sports Washington.
Yep.
And rebranded Monumental Sports Network. They just released an app for it, which doesn't work. And I'm going to keep criticizing it until it works. I know the Vegas Golden Knights actually signed on with a streaming platform that actually helps with antenna TV. Yes, antenna TV still is a thing, everybody. It's more through a digital tuner than through a, like, the bunny ears back in the day.
For those youngsters that might be listening, antenna television was a thing in the 80s and even in the early 90s. I mean, cable came
even
out
in the early 2000s. Yeah. 2000s. Like, here's the funny thing. Do you know how I got into wrestling?
Cable or
antenna.
Yeah.
Because back then the antenna gave you all your local channels plus some random ones. And so, like, back in the day, like, that's how I got into Simpsons, was because of the antenna bunny ears on Fox, because I was able to get my local Fox, Fox 5. But I also got UPN, and I remember flipping for the channels one night, and I hit on SmackDown.
Nice.
And that's how I started, you know, watching. So it was like, you know, that's just how, you know, it worked. That's how I became a wrestling fan. It was by flipping the channel, you know? So... Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we know it's all going to go to streaming. I know the Pittsburgh Penguins ownership of Fenway Sports bought their regional sports station.
The Washington Commanders own Sports Talk 980, the radio station, and they do some of the broadcast. They were talking about getting a broadcasting channel, but I guess Monumental bought it first. I mean,
they could always buy Masson, but as long as the Nationals get put on Monumental Sports Network, that would be nice, because that would be great. But even then, if you have the Monumental Sports Network app, it's region-based, so you can't watch it outside of 150 miles from the D.C. metro area.
So, which really sucks.
So, which I'm going to test it, because if I can get it to work before I leave for Jersey... which I'm actually leaving, because Matt and I are going to see each other this upcoming weekend, because I have a convention appearance and we're going to go to a Devils game together at the end of the convention. I'm going to test it by hopefully being logged into my, because you can also log into your cable account or Dish account. And my hope is that when I do that, I could be able to still watch the game when I'm in New Jersey next weekend or Minnesota the following weekend, you know? So it's like, let's see if you can find ways to work around it, but we'll see. So, yeah. But all right, moving on, last bit of news, and then we're going to get right into it. Edge, Adam Copeland, he's going to go by his real name of Adam Copeland, is in AEW now. He debuted on October 1st on at Wrestle Dream. And yeah, so he's in AEW. Reasoning for, and Matt and I were talking about this before we started recording, that I said, we should talk about this while recording, is Edge pretty much came out and said, after 25 years in WWE, there's nothing else more that he can do for the character of Edge. And that the send-off that they did for the character of Edge, he's satisfied with, the match on SmackDown with Sheamus. Whereas with AEW, Adam Copeland can reunite with Christian Cage, which is what the current feud is right now. And he's able to work with a whole bunch of new names like Luchasaurus, Darby Allin, the Elite, Kenny Omega. So like there's new opportunities for him in AEW. And actually Triple H at the Fastlane press conference after the show openly said, like, yeah, we were having trouble trying to find creative things for Adam, essentially. So it was mutual. There's still a lot of love and respect between Adam Copeland and WWE. It's just, this is a new chapter for him, and it's allowing him to also be a little bit more full-time, which is something he wanted to do in WWE, but they wanted him to be more special attraction, which he understands why they wanted him to be a special attraction, because at this point in his career, because he's pushing 50, is a special attraction to see him. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like it. It's weird to me. I don't like it. He's playing for the wrong team, in my opinion, and it weirds me out, and I'm bummed. I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it, but Edge is one of those guys to me that will always belong only in WWE. Like Taker or Shawn Michaels, or you know what I mean? Like those guys to me only belong in
WWE. Well, you're never going to have to worry about those two guys because Taker has like a lifetime contract and Shawn Michaels is running NXT now.
I know, I understand that, but that's what I'm saying is like, that's where they belong. That's home. And like, I just wish that it was the same for Edge too, but I get it. And I respect his decision to want to work more, which is awesome because let's be honest, the wrestling industry needs Edge.
Yeah.
And so it is good to have him back in the business, after that 9-year break that he had to take a number of years ago. Having him back was awesome. And the time he spent in WWE was awesome. I don't really watch AEW, so I won't be able to watch Edge as much as I would like to. But yeah, that's good, awesome for them to get such a good name. And I think he's, in my opinion, now this might be controversial, but other than Jericho, he is the first real legitimate, maybe Sting, but I don't really consider Sting a WWE guy. I consider him a WCW guy, but he is the first like real super legit WWE guy that they got. I'm not like, oh, he's just some cast off from WWE. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
I mean,
Brian Danielson.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him.
John Moxley.
Because
Moxley, both Moxley and Daniel Bryanson, or Brian Danielson, they both let their contracts expire to go to AEW.
I understand, but I'm talking about for who, like, I'm like truly a fan of. I was never really a big fan of either of those two guys. Like, Edge is one of my top five favorite wrestlers of all time. So to me, them getting Edge is the biggest coup against WC or against WWE they could have possibly done, in my opinion, other than maybe somehow stealing Taker or Shawn or Triple H or somebody like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But anyways, we're going to move on because obviously there's going to be other little bits that come up as we watch these matches. And we're going to watch three matches. We are going to watch Bret Hart versus Sting, Goldberg versus DDP, and Kane versus The Undertaker with Stone Cold Steve Austin as special guest referee. which will have a stipulation to that, which we'll get to when we get to the WF side. So, Matt, can you please go over the card, but please skip the results of number 10 and number 12, please?
Sure. So, well, actually, something happened with number 12 that we do need to talk about, because I don't know if it will be...
We will actually talk about it when we get to that point.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I am fully aware of the story. We will discuss that when we actually get to that match when we watch it.
Gotcha. Okay. So Chris Jericho defeated Raven by submission, and that was a TV title, a singles match for the TV title. Match went 7 minutes and 50 seconds. That sounds like it was an awesome match.
Raven Jericho? Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if that was a solid match, especially for the time that they got.
Yeah. So then you got Wrath versus Ming in a singles match, 4 minutes and 23 seconds.
That is classic of legends right there.
Yeah. You got it. It's also just a big meat fest in the ring too. You got the Disco Inferno defeating Juventud Guerrera in 9 minutes and 39 seconds. Then you have a match that I find incredibly interesting and would, and am actually going to go try and find and see if I can watch after this is over. You've got Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright, defeating Fit Finlay in 5 minutes and 9 seconds. Then you have Saturn defeating Lodi in 3 minutes and 50 seconds, and that match sounds 3 minutes and 50 seconds too long.
Which is a sin, because we do like Perry Saturn, though. Because he is a good worker.
Then in a Cruiserweight Championship match, you have Billy Kidman defeating the Disco Inferno. So Disco Inferno worked two matches that night.
Something tells me that match with Guerrero was a number one contenders match.
Yeah.
It's just not listed as such.
Yeah, I think it was. I think if I remember correctly, they did a number one contenders tournament or something like that. Back in that day, I believe, if memory serves, I could be off, but I do believe that was like the finals of that tournament. And then the winner faced Billy Kidman, and Billy Kidman, who was the champion, won in 10 minutes and 49 seconds. Then we have Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell defeating Scott Steiner and the Giant for the WCW Tag Team titles. What happened in this match, if I remember correctly, this was when Buff Bagwell joined NWO because he turned on Rick. He left Rick. Rick won the belts by himself. And then there was another match right after that. That was Rick versus Scott Steiner in a no DQ match. And Rick won that as well. So I believe that was kind of the start of Buff Bagwell in the NWO, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe that's when that started. And then you have Scott Hall defeating Kevin Nash by countout in 14 minutes and 19 seconds. Then we've got the Bret Hart versus Sting match, which we're obviously not going to go over right now, which was a U.S. title match. Then you have Hollywood Hulk Hogan versus The Warrior in 14 minutes and 18 seconds.
That's a match that didn't need to happen.
What's that?
That's a match that did not need to happen.
Oh, yeah, 100% it did not need to happen. And that match also went 14 minutes and 18 seconds, which is 14 minutes and 17 seconds too long. And then you have Goldberg versus Diamond Dallas Page for the World Title, which was a 10-minute and 29-second match.
Yep. So with that, we are going into Bret Hart versus Sting. That's the wrong match. I want this match. So we are going to start it. If you go into our site, into the thing with the links, you can click on the link.
Can you reshare your screen for me real quick, Mike?
Yes. Because not everyone gets to do a share screen with Matt and I. Please note that we do have the links for the matches in the blog post itself that the episode is posted in. So you can just do a quick grab over or quick click over to the match itself So we are going to begin with Bret Hart versus Sting for the WCW US title at Halloween Havoc 98 right now. All right. So we are already starting with Sting in the ring, and Bret Hart is just kind of stalking outside the ring. Now, Matt, did you hear the news about Sting?
What's that?
Sting,
oh, he's retiring, isn't he?
Sting announced on Dynamite that he is going to be retiring at Revolution 2024, which I believe will be in March of next year.
Oh, okay. So it's, he's still got a year.
A little less than a year. What it is that Sting debuted for AEW at Revolution, and when he made his announcement, he said that he wanted to have his last match be at Revolution 2024. So it's like he debuted at Revolution, and now he's retiring at Revolution. So it's like kind of like, in a way, like a full circle thing, you know?
Yeah.
And seeing Sting with a goatee is weird. So who's the heel? Because if I remember right, isn't Sting in Wolfpack NWO at this point?
Yeah, but I never considered NWO Wolfpack a heel stable. I always considered them the face version of NWO.
All right, and of course, obviously, YouTube has ads, so apologize. So we're skipping our ad now, so we're back in the action. Well, lack of action. It's just Bret walking around the ring. Because, yeah, obviously, you can tell that Bret is the heel in this match. Because, yeah, because you can obviously tell that Bret's working the heel in this one. God, Sting with a goatee is so weird.
My phone is being a jerk here.
Oh. I mean, here's the thing. With Sting Bret Hart, I'm expecting a pretty decent match. Especially the fact that it's Sting and Bret. But Sting with a goatee still bothers me.
Yeah.
Especially with the way his face paint is with the red instead of the white. It just looks so weird.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, the red gear looks pretty good. I like the red gear.
Yeah, the Wolfpack gear was always cool for Sting. I like the red face paint on Sting. I like the red and black face paint better than I liked the white and black face paint. To me, red and black just looks cooler.
I mean, I like the gear. I think the red face paint would be better if it wasn't for that goatee.
Oh yeah, 100%. You're not wrong about that at all.
But yeah, so that also means that AEW is going to lose like two wrestlers next year, guaranteed. Oh, we got another break. God, they threw it in like so quickly. We've gotten two ad breaks within like 4 minutes already. Thanks, YouTube.
Who else are they losing again?
At least as a full-time wrestler, Bryan Danielson. Because he announced going into Wrestle Dream, I think it was. That he promised his daughter that when she turned 7, he would not wrestle full time anymore. And so, like, next year she turns 7. And so he just wants to, retire as a full-time wrestler. He'll probably still do, like, he'll probably be still be like a special attraction for a while for AEW, but overall he'd be done.
I wouldn't be surprised with Vince out if we didn't see him back in WWE too.
Like, honestly, I could see, like, eventually when their contracts are up with, like, AEW, I could see, what's its name, the Hardys going back to WWE for the Hall of Fame, because they are overdue for that. Same with Christian, and same with Jericho. Like, I could see a lot of these guys heading over to, heading over there.
Yeah. Did Jay Black win the belt?
No, Jay White did not
Or Jay
win.
White, I mean.
Jay
Oh, okay.
White did not win the belt. He stole the belt from MJF. MJF defends the belt against Jay White at Full Gear next month.
Oh, okay. Because I saw pictures of him with the belt, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, so that was the whole special dream match announcement that Tony Khan made last night on Rampage. The dream match is Bryan Danielson versus Andrade El Idolo. And I'm like, okay, yeah, the two have never wrestled each other before, but I don't consider that a dream match.
There aren't a lot of people who do. Think the only person who considers that a dream match is Andrade.
No, I think the only person who considers that a dream match is Tony Khan.
Did I read correctly, Mike, that when you're at Twin Cities, you're doing a Awesome Mania?
Yep.
Nice.
And at DerpyCon, I'm doing Derpy Mania, which is the altered version of Awesome Mania. We'll go over that when we do sign out.
So far, it has been a very entertaining match.
Oh yeah, like I said, like this is like, I'm not worried about the quality of what these two guys can do.
Also, in my opinion, the greatest worker in the history of the business is in the ring right now. And Sting is a great worker himself. So you put an extraordinary worker and
God.
a great worker in the ring, and it's going to be
Another ad
top
break.
notch.
All right, we're back from our ad break.
Which means just hit the skip button.
Yeah, if it gives you the option to skip, hit skip as soon as the 5 seconds are up.
Halloween habits.
Oh, so going back to Vince real quick, because I'm finally catching up on some things, because obviously I woke up like 10 minutes before we started like prepping the episode. More on Ari Emanuel's decision to remove Vince McMahon from WWE Creative. Dave Meltzer was told by someone close to the situation that Emanuel has a vision for how he can use the worldwide notoriety of McMahon, and that vision doesn't include him micromanaging the weekly television shows. Yes.
Which I wonder what that means.
Meaning, like, all the changes he's done to the show and stuff.
Well, no, but I mean, like, I know what the micromanaging means, but I mean, like, what his plan for Vince is.
I don't know why Cage Side Seats feels it necessary to continue in the rumor roundup to keep putting Ryback stuff into their thing. Nobody gives a shit about Ryback.
You know why? Because it fucking triggers people and they're trolling. That's what the fuck they're doing.
Like, I don't need the, like, I skip the Ryback news because it's Ryback just comes out with the dumbest shit possible.
They're trolling people. That's 100% what they're doing.
That's stupid.
That's what trolls do, stupid shit.
Yep. Do you know who doesn't do stupid shit? Bret Hart.
Exactly. Elbow drop. Bret had a great elbow.
Oh, another break. We got a thing to skip in a couple seconds, and we're hitting it now. That's four commercials in 12 minutes.
I know. Stupid
Oh no, the referee's down.
whatever will we do?
So this is interesting news. Ace Steel is reportedly set to work Impact Bound for Glory this week and as a producer per PW Insider. Multiple sources have confirmed that Steel is in Chicago and will be fulfilling the role of a producer for the weekend's events, which include Saturday's Bound for Glory pay-per-view and the subsequent TV tapings. This opportunity is described as a producer tryout for Ace Steel with Impact Wrestling after being released by AEW following the infamous backstage altercation at All Out. Steel initially returned to AEW in a remote position. However, was once let go from the company quietly after CM Punk's departure due to his altercation with Jack Perry. It says here Impact Wrestling extended the offer to Ace Steel, likely based on his experience and expertise as a producer. Notably, there is no mention in the report of CM Punk potentially appearing at Bound for Glory, so any such speculation remains unconfirmed. Ace Steel's involvement as a producer will certainly add to the intrigue surrounding Impact's Bound for Glory event because there have been rumors that Impact has offered CM Punk a contract.
Huh. Interesting.
Because C Impact will accept CM Punk with open arms. Whereas WWE, I think Punk's going to WWE, but
So do I, especially like,
especially with Survivor Series in Chicago next month.
know that him and Hunter didn't get along, but Hunter knows what's best for business.
Yeah. But then,
And while I'm not a huge CM Punk fan, having him there, especially in Chicago, would set that building on fire.
well, I'm going to be honest here too. I could actually see CM Punk going to Impact.
So could I. And I think he'd do well in Impact.
And I think, honestly, and here's my thing, I think him coming to Impact, say it's just for like a 6 month contract, right? Or a 1 year contract, right? Him doing a 1 year contract on an Impact and him not having any issues for that 1 year, I think would help boost bringing him to WWE a lot better, especially with how things ended in AEW. Because one of the interesting things was is that the last time Impact was in Chicago was when CM Punk was still out due to the injury, pre-Brawl Out, because he got injured in the match with Moxley, then Brawl Out happened later that night. So Punk was injured. He was actually backstage at the Impact tapings and was having a great time with everyone in the locker room. And Bret Hart just beat Sting because he knocked him out with the baseball bat. All right, let's see if there's anything after this. We just got hit with another break. The rest of this is them carting off Sting. Do we need to see that?
No.
Okay. Then we're not going to watch that. So, next up is going to be Goldberg versus DDP, which now, while everyone's getting loaded up on DDP and Goldberg, I'm going to give you a moment, Matt, to tell everyone what happened to this match.
All right.
Well, I get through ads.
So this is directly from Wikipedia. I'm going to read the whole paragraph really quickly. It says WCW ran Halloween Havoc 1998 to 3.5 hours, rather than the standard three. Due to this, many pay-per-view feeds ended while the main event of Goldberg versus Diamond Dallas Page was still underway. WCW aired the match the following night on the TNT show Nitro. WWE journalist Kevin Powers hailed the bout as the best ever held at a Halloween Havoc event. While criticizing Hogan Warrior, he wrote, "It's hard to believe that thousands of pay-per-view customers miss the main event of Halloween Havoc 1998 because the WCW ran out of broadcast time. By some cruel twist of fate, fans did get to watch the disastrous WrestleMania 6 rematch between the Ultimate Warrior and Hollywood Hulk Hogan, only to see their screens go black just as Diamond Dallas Page and Goldberg were prepared to lock up with undefeated WCW champion Goldberg in what was the best match in the October event's 11-year span. Luke Winkle of Sports Illustrated said Goldberg versus Page, it was a great match. If more TVs carried this match, maybe the Warrior Hogan disaster would be less remembered. WCW was forced to reimburse millions of dollars to customers who ordered Halloween Havoc. The match was shown the next night on Nitro, however, this showing was edited out, or this showing was edited out of that particular show on the WWE Network.
Yeah, because they put it as part of the actual pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So with that, we are now going to go into Matt, I refreshed the thing. So just make sure you're okay.
Hold on, let me pull it up here. Go ahead.
All right, we good? We good. We're going into it. Goldberg versus DDP for the WCW title at Halloween Havoc 98. Ring that bell, ref. And if I remember right, I think it was right at the beginning lockup
Yes.
that
Well, that
that
little
it
catch of
went.
a chat on the thing. So this is all still being seen right now. If you had
Right
brought it
there,
down,
boom,
right
cut the
there is where
black.
it went wrong.
That very first lockup.
Yep. I've never actually seen this match. I remember I just turned 14 when this came out. I remember wanting to order, this pay-per-view, but not for some reason not being able to. And now knowing what we know ahead of time, I'm glad I didn't, because I would have been pissed off.
But you would have gotten your money back.
Well, my parents would have got their money back, which doesn't affect me in any way, shape, or form, other than the fact that I would have missed this match.
Whoa. That flip that Goldberg just did was pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, Goldberg's an insane athlete. People don't give Goldberg enough credit for how good he for well, I shouldn't say how good he was in the ring because he wasn't the best worker, but for what Goldberg was supposed to be, he was great. He was supposed to just be a big slab of meat that beat the shit out of people, and that's what he did. Glad you decided to go with this match instead of Warrior Hogan.
I didn't see Warrior Hogan when I did. So just to let people know, when I do the searching for what matches we're gonna do, the first thing I look for is full match. That's the first thing I actually look. Well, actually, the funny thing is I type in the pay-per-view and I do full pay-per-view or full show. And then most of the time it'll just give you full matches of it instead.
Gotcha.
And that's how I'm able to find the matches. So, like, for instance, for Halloween Havoc 98, it only had two full matches from that card. The one that we just watched, which was Brett versus Sting,
And the
and this one that we're watching now. So, and I don't remember. I think the Taker Kane one is actually not a WWE account. It's like a different account, which is how I got that one.
Nice swinging neck breaker there by Paige.
Russian leg sweep.
Yeah, I forgot how big freaking Diamond Dallas Page was. But if you look at him in comparison to Goldberg, he's not as thick as Goldberg, but he's every bit as tall as Goldberg, maybe even taller. And I feel like this was like, as far as like body wise, this was the best Paige ever looked. Like when he first started, he wasn't really, I don't feel like a super good body guy. But now he's like yoked.
Ad break.
Screw off, YouTube.
But we're back. But hey, that's like the first one we've had in like 5 minutes.
I know.
So that's not bad. It's not as bad as the last match where we had it like five, six times.
Sorry, I had to run for a second and go shut one of my blinds in my kitchen. I got the window open and the blind was down and it was knocking and it was annoying me.
Yep.
Oh.
That kick.
Yeah.
Of course, that was also the kick that ended Bret Hart's career, essentially.
Yep.
The only difference is that that kick hit DDP in the chest, not in the face.
So here's the thing, and I think it's unfair, the way that Goldberg gets looked at for that kick, right? Because people are like, oh, if he was a better worker, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. And then Brett says the same stuff. Like, I feel like people are acting like Goldberg did it on purpose. First of all, he didn't do it on purpose. Second of all, it was a freak accident that happened. It could have been anybody. You know, it could have been Chris Jericho. It could have been Hulk Hogan. It could have been Sting. That, you know, I think it was just a perfect storm of a shot to the head that could have been a punch from anybody that say that. Is what caused, you know, I don't think it was necessarily the kick that caused Bret Hart to have a stroke. I think his body was ready to have a stroke, and that just happened to be the right moment when it happened, in my opinion.
Well,
And
he didn't
I
have the
think,
stroke until years later.
oh, okay,
Yeah,
well.
the kick gave him a severe concussion, which essentially was the thing that ended the career. The stroke didn't come until years later.
I thought it was all in one, the concussion
No,
and the stroke together.
it the stroke came the stroke came
Well,
later.
either way, it could have been anybody that accidentally kicked Bret Hart in the head. I don't think that I think Goldberg takes too much heat for
Oh,
that. Yo, that's crazy. Dude, I'm like, while I'm watching this, I'm also looking at the roof of the building next to me. Humongous turkey vultures on it. Oh, there's four. Jesus.
I love how when you said Jesus, there's four, the referee had gotten the count four. I almost said peacock break.
Yeah.
All right, we're back from our ad.
I don't care. Goldberg doesn't have hair to grab.
No.
DDP could have shaved his head for this match.
That was a nice counter by DDP there.
Yeah. DDP was kind of the one who started the whole cutter out of nowhere situation. Because do you remember when the Giant had him up on the top turnbuckle for the choke slam, and he turned the choke slam into the cutter?
Nope.
That was kind of the first like cutter out of nowhere situation.
I never watched WCW.
That's right, I forgot. You didn't torture yourself like the rest of us.
Well, I also came in near the tail end of the whole Attitude Era rivalry anyways.
Yeah, you came in what, 02?
No, like late October 2000.
Oh, okay.
It was when
That's
there it was around the time when Austin was just coming back from the neck injury and they're doing the whole who ran over Stone Cold.
Yeah. And there we go.
That was
That
actually
was a good
that
match.
was yeah, that wasn't a bad match at all. I think we got lucky. We got two good matches out of the WCW side.
Yeah.
So let's
It's probably
see.
the best match that they ever put on. I I disagree with maybe the best main event that they ever put on, but I think that the match we watched before this one with Bret and Sting was a significantly better match.
Yeah. And I actually like this because you don't see this with Goldberg a lot, where he actually brought up DDP to show him respect.
Yeah. Well, this two baby faces working a match, so. I like how DDP reversed the hand raise.
Yeah.
It's funny as shit. I don't know why that cracked me up so bad, but it was funny.
And that would have been the end of WCW Halloween Havoc, which now brings us over to WWF Judgment Day in Your House, which took place on October 18th, 1998, at the Rosemont Horizon in Rosemont, Illinois. Let's get right to the card. Wow, there's a lot of notes on the Wikipedia for this one. For Sunday Night Heat, you had Steve Blackman defeating Bradshaw. The Oddities of Giant Silva, Golga, and Kurgan defeating Los Boricuas of Jesus Castilla, Jose Estrada, and Miguel Perez Jr. You had the Godfather with Two Hoes defeat Farouk. Obviously, you can tell this is probably the starting phase of when we're going to get the APA, because you had Bradshaw and Farouk. And then the last match on Heat was Scorpio defeating Jeff Jarrett. And then going into the card, you have Al Snow with Head defeating Mark Miro with Jacqueline. LOD 2000 of Animal draws in Hawk defeating the Disciples of the Apocalypse of 8-Ball, Paul Ellering, and Skull. You had Christian with Gangrel defeating Takemishinoku with Yamaguchi-san. And that was for the Light Heavyweight Championship. Goldust defeated Val Venus with Terry Runnels. X-Pac with China defeated D'Lo Brown for the WWF European Championship. That match was 14 minutes and 37 seconds long. That was actually your second longest match of the night. Then you had the Headbangers of Mosh and Thrasher defeat the New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, by disqualification in a tag team match for the tag team titles. And then Ken Shamrock defeated Mankind for the to retain his WWF Intercontinental Championship. And then you had Mark Henry defeat The Rock in a singles match, which then all leads up to the main event of Kane versus Undertaker, which is a singles match for the vacant WWF Championship, with Stone Cold Steve Austin as special guest referee. And if Steve Austin did not crown a new champion, he would be fired. So with that, click on the link as we go into Undertaker versus Kane 1998 Judgment Day full match, which this one we're actually getting not off of WWE's YouTube channel, but Extreme Attitude Era. So here we go, right on into it. And you good on your end, Matt?
Yeah.
Cool. And this account is obviously giving us the actual promo. So we're getting the actual nice little opening video vignette for the match.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool. And we shouldn't have to deal with stupid ass
Commercials?
commercials. We might, I don't know, but
We'll
hopefully
see.
not.
Yeah, we'll see. Oh God, that's right. There is so much going on this. Because obviously at the last pay-per-view you had Kane and Undertaker both pinning Austin.
That's right.
That was a nice promo.
Yeah, it was good.
Good solid promo. I like how they put the stage on fire for Kane.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool. I like that. Remember what was that? I think it was the first ever Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania. They actually put all the ladders that were on the stage on fire for Kane.
Nice.
And I remember what WrestleMania 20, how they had that like backdrop for the stage where it looked like New York City. And when Kane came out, it looked like the city was on fire. Like they've always done some pretty creative things for the stage for Kane when he's done entrances.
Yeah, him and the Undertaker always used to get the best stuff.
I would say Triple H does too.
Yeah. Looking forward to November's recording when we get to watch Survivor Series. Because I like Survivor Series. Where do you stand on Survivor Series? Where do you rank Survivor Series in the Big Four, Mike?
It's probably the fourth one, honestly, just simply because, well, I'd probably put it three because obviously you got WrestleMania as number one because that's the big,
Okay.
that's your Super Bowl
Well,
essentially.
I'm talking about your personal, like,
Oh.
as far as being a fan, where would you, Mike Lindenbaum, as a fan, rank Survivor Series in the Big Four?
I mean, I would probably still go with three because honestly, WrestleMania, like I was just saying, is the big one. And then you got Rumble. I love the Rumble. Like that it's always fun watching that. Whereas Survivor Series, SummerSlam is just kind of like a mini WrestleMania, so that's why it's number four for me.
Yeah.
But Survivor Series, I mean, I've liked it when they've done like the Survivor Series stuff, but then there's been a few years where it just kind of like lagged. But like last year when they brought in War Games, finally, like
Yeah, that was cool.
that reinvigorated it. And it sounds like they're going to bring War Games back this year because, so last week on SmackDown they promoted Adam Pearce to general manager of Raw. And announced Nick Aldis as the general manager of SmackDown.
Saw that. That's awesome.
And dude, like they continued it on last night on SmackDown, where Aldis was like throwing shots at Adam Pearce.
Nice.
And the one line when Aldis had Jey Uso and Adam Pearce removed from the building, Adam Pearce said the lines like, "Okay. Let the games begin."
There you go.
So it's like, oh, that's a definite shot for War Games.
It's always weird to me to see the Undertaker be the shorter guy in the ring.
That was actually a nice little moment, though, between Taker and Kane, though.
Yeah. Well, they're both still playing up the brothers then. Oh, that's your bloodstone. We're getting close to my favorite. This is probably my second favorite year in the history of professional wrestling, 98. I love 1999. 99, 98, 99, and 2000 and 2001 are probably the four best years in professional wrestling, in my opinion. I don't think the referee is supposed to give double birds to both competitors.
Well, the
But
fun.
he's being fair because he gave the double bird to both guys.
Although the funnier thing is that like there's a moment where like he says something to Taker and Taker like nods his hidden head in acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Like that was the funny part. Like I think it was like the thing about like don't pull hair, don't kick him in the nuts, and like you just see Undertaker just like nod his head in acknowledgement. It's like, yeah, okay. Not going old school already.
Yep. Damn, dude. The amount of athleticism and balance and just everything that that takes, Jesus. It's impressive every time he does that.
Even when he got older, too.
Yeah.
I actually do like Austin so far as the ref because he's like staying out of it.
I do wish Austin was wearing a referee shirt. Like, I think that would be like a referee shirt with no sleeves or something, like Ken Shamrock did the one time and all that. But
Yeah, but that wouldn't fit Austin though.
yeah, I get why he's not, but
Well, yeah, Kane is more jacked than Undertaker is.
oh yeah, he's also taller by like 2 inches, which again, it's always a little disconcerting to see somebody taller than Taker out there.
Except the funny thing is that like if you remember like what WrestleMania 7, it was he fought Giant Gonzalez.
That's nine, Mania nine.
Oh yeah, Mania 9. Yeah, he fought Giant
Yeah.
Gonzalez.
Who's like 6 inches taller than him.
Wow. So Austin went for no count when Taker went for the pin and the fast count when Kane went for the pin.
Of Austin, instead of counting, he just told the Undertaker to get back in the ring.
Well, no, they normally yell at them to get back in the ring first before they count, so that's a little normal, but the more interesting thing is that he's not counting them now, as they're both fighting outside the ring.
Austin's a fun referee. Oh, that's so funny. Austin offering the cable to the Undertaker to choke Kane out was hilarious.
I mean, he ain't gonna disqualify him.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it was hilarious that he offered him the cable. Just like, here, choke him out. He's supposed to be the ref. He's supposed to not do things like that, but Undertaker's receiving an ass whooping here.
I should have accepted the cable.
Yeah. I was listening to Something to Wrestle with a number of years ago, and with Bruce Pritchard, and he was saying how Kane was his greatest contribution to the business of professional wrestling.
What, it wasn't Brother Love
No.
in introducing the Undertaker?
Well, he so Kane. The Undertaker was a Vince McMahon creation. I think Kane was a Bruce Pritchard creation. So,
Oh no, I know that, but the joke was is that
oh no, yeah, no, I
because
got that
Brother
part
Love
too.
was Undertaker's first
Yeah.
manager.
Apparently, he named his son is named Kane.
Feel
Kane
bad.
Pritchard.
I feel bad for the kid. Although Kane Pritchard doesn't sound that bad, though.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a cool fucking name.
And better than Declan.
Who's Declan?
Shane McMahon's son.
Declan's an all right name. It's not bad. We can all be in agreement that the worst name of all time is Todd.
No, it can't be, because then you'd hate Todd Pettingill.
He's the only Todd that's acceptable. But what you don't know is that I have another buddy, Matt, a guy named Matt Deegan, and our joke used to be that the sworn mortal enemies of the Matt Army is the Todd Army. So anytime Matts and Todds are in the same room, they have to do battle with each other, with Matts usually coming out on top. And Todd Pettingill's and we gave him the honorary Matt status.
And then watch him stab you in the back.
Yeah, pretty much.
So far, this actually hasn't been a bad match. Like,
No, these two always put together good matches when they work together. Kane and The Undertaker just had that natural chemistry in the ring with each other that is hard to come by. I think part of honestly what makes it so good is that while guys like Shawn and Taker or Shawn and Triple H had great matches with The Undertaker as well, and so did Mankind. Kane was really the only guy that actually physically looked like the Undertaker was in trouble, other than maybe Giant Gonzalez and Yokozuna, but he didn't have great matches with them. But Kane was one of the only guys that actually made it look like the Undertaker was actually in physical trouble when he was in the ring with him. And I think it gave the Undertaker a lot more opportunity to sell and to, kind of play, not have to try to carry a match, you know what I mean, with his physical being so physically imposing, you know what I mean?
yeah. Well, I think the other thing is that, and I forget who said it. I think it was Kevin Nash on A Table for Three. Kevin Nash said it, that it's a lot easier for a big guy to work with a little guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know, the moment where it's like you have Undertaker. You know, and like he noted, like there's certain exceptions of big guys who can work with big guys, and it's like Taker, Kane, you know, he put Big Show on that list, you know, of big guys who other big guy could easily work with. But like for the most of the time, like the bigger guys love working with the smaller guys, like a Shawn Michaels and stuff
Well,
like that
yeah,
because,
that's because the little guys can bump their asses off for the big guys.
yeah, and it makes the match more, like believable and stuff like that. Not saying that this match isn't looking believable because, like, right now, Taker's really working the leg of Kane, which is making Kane immobile.
Yeah. Austin looks so bored right now.
He's like, man, I want to be whooping ass right now. Austin's like, man, I want to be kicking this ass right now, not watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
Be funny if like Austin's like getting impatient. He's like, you've had enough yet? No, starts kicking him in the head. How about now? God, putting Kane in the Tree of Woe.
Yeah.
That's kind of hilarious. Because, like, look
Well,
how, like, he's
he's
too
way
big
too
for
big
it.
for it. He's way too big for it.
And he's doing, like, a partial Tree of Woe where he's just working the one leg.
Yeah.
Although the funny thing is that the referee would be calling for the rope break here. And Austin's not even counting out Taker on that. Guy in the yellow shirt needs to sit the fuck down.
Sit down, you bastard.
So the funny thing is that we just saw like Austin looking at the camera because I think he's getting his cues from the timekeeper. Either that or from the cameraman himself. He's getting his cues like for
Usually.
because
Usually from the timekeeper when it but a lot of times now the refs have
the earpieces. Yeah.
yeah, but they didn't have the those types of earpieces back in 98, so you had to get them from the timekeeper.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of funny that he's like paying attention to the timekeeper on that one camera shot. Because obviously Austin needs to relay that information to the to Taker and Kane.
Oh, that was nice. I know there's a schmoz finish in this, but I forget how it all goes down.
Notice how the hard cam is like focusing on the top of the ring apron so those guys can't stand up.
Yeah.
Because you can see them with their hands on the bottom trying to like raise their hands and stand up to see if they can be seen on camera.
Jackasses.
Good solid match.
Yeah. This is my type of wrestling, though. Dude, just two big, meaty motherfuckers slapping the shit and just beating the shit out of each other.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's not allowed.
The funny thing is that like Kane threw Taker into Austin, which looked like by accident into the corner.
God, these guys are morons down in the bottom. Oh, kick to the back of the knee. Mike, I remember my first beer. And I say that because those guys are drunk, are acting like a bunch of drunken assholes. Because that's how I acted the first time I drank a beer. Paul Bearer. You know, he used to bang Undertaker's mom.
You don't say.
According to him, anyway. I think she had higher standards than that, but.
Who knows? Maybe he looked better. He probably wasn't a ghouly bastard like he is then.
No.
And Kane's like, bitch, what did you
All it said was Austin had to crown a champion. It didn't say, oh, wait. That's awesome. God damn it. The one thing I did hate in this era was all these like schmoz finishes that they used to do. Like, that was such a good match, it deserved a real finish.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that finish makes sense, though, for what the storyline is on this one. Like, it's one thing.
I know, but I just I like matches that have an actual finish. Run, Vince, run away.
He just, like, Bruce Prichard just squealed on him. I have no idea who that was.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to figure it out myself.
Well, Undertaker and Kane are gone. And they have the little speaker things in the ring.
That's all it was, him going back there was so that he could set that shit up.
Yeah, and get Kane and Taker out of there.
Yep.
Somebody threw a shirt at him. Or
Is
something
that a
at him.
shirt? I thought it was newspaper. Was it a shirt?
I don't know. It looked like a shirt.
I don't have much sound up. What did Vince just say right there? Did he fire him?
Yeah, he said, screw you, you're fired.
I like how the big boss man has a ski mask on, like we're not supposed to know it's him.
Even though JR and the King said it was Big Boss Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then why do you have a fucking ski mask on? Yeah, like I said, I don't have my sound on, so I don't hear what the announcers are saying.
Yeah.
Man,
Oh, he's grabbing the cooler. And he tripped. Which it obviously didn't, but you know. And we don't need to see any more of that. That's pretty much just them doing the send off to Austin.
Yep.
So that, Matt, we have concluded Halloween Havoc 98 and Judgment Day in Your House 98. That was a good run.
Yeah, it was. We actually watched three really good matches today.
So, yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say. I mean, we saw three good matches. We saw one of which, more storyline based, saw a storyline get progressed further.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, with that, Ben, you had mentioned it, and I had also teased it. So, real quick, I'm just going to go through some appearance stuff. October 27th through 29th, I will be in New Brunswick, New Jersey for DerpyCon. And on the Saturday at 6 p.m. in panel room 3, I'll be doing Derpy Mania, the pro wrestling fan panel. It's the 6th year in a row that I've been doing the panel at the con. Also, I will be doing celebrity interviews for podcast coverage. So stay tuned for that. And then November 3rd through 5th, I'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for Twin Cities Con. Confirmed so far, I'll be doing TXHT Hot Front Live from the State of Hockey Round 2. That is Saturday at 2 p.m. And Awesome Mania, the Pro Wrestling Fan Panel, that will be at 2 p.m. as well on the Sunday. So stay tuned for more information. Just like go to the X75 Productions Facebook page because I'll post everything up on there, which those two announcements are actually up on there. But I will be announcing for Twin Cities Con who the guest will be for Awesome Mania, most likely next week. I think I'll be announcing them in between my time, between the two conventions, between travel days. So. Yeah. So with that, I guess you can find me on Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing at Twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75, which I will be returning to Twitch after these two trips. And yeah, everything's on the website at TXHTHockey.com. And then, of course, your undisputed champion, Ben, who is still on medical leave from the show. You can find him on Twitter at @BobTGoldfish, and Twitch doing the gaming thing with his wife Amy and friend Jordan at twitch.tv/321_TV, and of course the sister podcast to this show, Voices from the Grid, on Twitter at @VFTG_PR. Click the link tree for more for that show. Matt, where can the people find you on social media?
Right now, just like always, is on Instagram at the coolest fat kid you know.
Yep. So with that, until next time, which we will definitely be doing Survivor Series, and I think ECW is getting on the card as well next month as well. We will see you ringside.